Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Ireland's prison population is growing, but with that growth comes more overcrowding and an increase in solitary confinement. The findings emerge from a new report, which is published by the Irish Penal Reform Trust today. Progress in the Penal System 2022 also shows that there was a massive increase in the number of prisoners being held on remand. On the line is Molly Joyce, Acting Executive Director of the Irish Penal Reform Trust. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning, Claire.
So this is the sixth Progress in the Penal System report that you've carried out. Explain to us what it is that you examine in this process.
Absolutely. So we started this project 6 years ago, and this is the sixth report. And really what we examine is a kind of set of 35 standards of cross-cutting issues in our penal system. And we try and measure progress against these standards. And really the project was aimed at trying to set a vision for kind of creating a best practice or international best model of penal policy in Ireland. And then every year we're kind of tracking to see how close or how far away we are from that.
And where do you get the information from? Who do you consult?
So the information comes from a variety of sources, both online and publicly available sources, but also we are fortunate to have good engagement with many of the criminal justice agencies who provide us with some data directly. And of course, they also publish some data. And then, of course, we also rely on things like parliamentary questions and that kind of thing to gain information. But it is important to say that data and accessing data is a consistent challenge in this project.
OK, now 28 standards, that's what you looked at for 2022, yeah. Molly. So how many areas did you see positive progress in?
We saw a positive progress in four areas this year, and five areas were marked as regress. So that's kind of consistent with previous years, and it's welcome, but obviously, you know, you'd want to be seeing a lot higher level of progress across all of those 28 standards.
And one issue you highlight as regression in the report is around prisoner numbers, which are rising. Tell us a little more about what's happening there.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we saw in 2022 is that between January and December of that year, there was an 18% increase in the numbers of people in prison. And if we look then between 2021 and 2022, there was an 8% increase in the annual average number of people in prison. And unfortunately, that increase that we're seeing in the prison numbers has continued into 2023. Now, in terms of the reasons why that is happening, it's not entirely clear. It could be a kind of post-COVID impact of court backlogs. However, two things that we identified from this year's report was a concern about the numbers, as you mentioned, of high numbers of people on remand, but also the continued high numbers of people being sent to prison on short sentences, which we think is a part of the picture as well.
What role does COVID have to play in all of this, do you think?
Well, during COVID, we actually, the Irish Prison Service and other agencies did a very good job in reducing the prison population in a very short space of time. Within about a month of the pandemic starting, they reduced the prison population safely by about 10% for infection control measure reasons. And that was very successful, as I said. It was a concerted effort, and it was through the use of early release, temporary release mechanisms, with very few people actually returned for breaching any of those, or, you know, their terms of their temporary release. And I think what it showed is that when there is an actual emergency and when there is a will to really do something about the prison numbers, it can actually be done. We can reduce our numbers. So it's not inevitable that the numbers just keep going up and up and there's nothing that can be done about it.
But perhaps there's a backlog of people on remand, cases going through the courts and so on, which is leading to some of this uplift.
It absolutely could be. So again, in this report, what we observed was there's a 23% increase in the average number of people on remand between 2021 and 2022. But interestingly, the report also notes that the average number of people on remand, that has increased significantly since 2017 by 50%. So although we are seeing kind of post-COVID a potential increase, that increase has actually been happening since before COVID. And so it might not just be down to COVID backlog. And the other thing we're seeing with remand is increased people being held for increased lengths of time on remand, which is another kind of concerning thing for us. And I think further research is needed on it.
And do you think that points to some sort of culture shift in what the courts are deciding to do with people who are awaiting trial?
It could well do, but honestly, in the absence of kind of better data from the court service, from the various different agencies, it's very hard to know exactly what is causing that. And that is a real concern for us, as I said. And, you know, one point I always try to kind of get across when we talk about remand or pre-trial detention, these are people who have not been convicted of an offence necessarily. They are innocent until proven guilty. And therefore, we should only be using, you know, holding people in custody in absolutely necessary circumstances. And one other thing we've called for in the report is an expansion of bail support schemes in particular, so that we do have some of those in existence already for under 18s, but we think they could be usefully expanded to 18 to 24 year olds and women.
So Molly, what does this increase in the prison population look like in those prisons where they're being held?
Yeah, it's really difficult to kind of overstate the impact. It just affects every aspect of prison life, and all of the good rehabilitative services that could be offered to people are put under pressure. So at its most basic, I'm sure a lot of your listeners will be familiar, and in recent months there's been a lot of figures about people sleeping on mattresses in our prisons. So in December 2022, we saw 2,408 instances of people sleeping on mattresses. And, you know, we've also seen some regression in particular prisons. For example, in Mountjoy Prison, there had been a long kind of, you know, welcome allowance for people to have single cell access to single cell accommodation, and they've had to start doubling up the cells, tripling, you know, and across the prison estate, we see people having to be squeezed into more cells, and that can then increase, you know, difficulties on people having to toilet in the presence of others. It affects the basic dignity that people are kind of experiencing within prison. It can lead to tension, obviously lead to increased violence. But as I said, also, all those services, the mental health services, the addiction services, they're already under pressure. And we know that from the 2022 report. And they're just going to be put under continual more pressure if we keep seeing these numbers increase.
And you found significant issues in our women's prisons. Just looking at what happened in Limerick women's prison, occupancy highs of 164% of capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually checked the figures just for yesterday. And yesterday, Limerick Female Prison was at 175% capacity. So as you say, it's not getting better. It seems to be getting worse into 2023. And I think it's really important, again, to just highlight that women, you know, again, looking at, you know, we really looked into this in more detail in this report. Women in prison are among the most marginalised women in the state. So an estimated 85% of women in the DOCA have addiction issues. We know that the rates of mental illness appear to be higher for women prisoners than for male prisoners, and we know that the rates of self-harm also seem to be higher among female prisoners than for male prisoners, and it's a real concern for us. And we also know that a lot of women appear to be sentenced on short sentences for non-violent offences to prison. And even this week, you know, I saw local news reports of a woman who has basically been sent to prison because there was no accommodation available for her in the community, and you know, that's just not acceptable to us. A prison is not the right place for someone who is struggling with mental health. We need better services in the community to help those women.
But on a basic level, I know that you want to see people who are in prison being treated with dignity and respect in terms of the services and the accommodation that they have. But yet you don't support proposals made last month by the Justice Minister, Simon Harris, to add 600 new prison beds to the system.
No, we don't. Obviously, we always support improving the prison conditions that exist and improving facilities, but not creating more prison spaces. And the reason for that is really that we know from international experience that simply building more prisons does not in and of itself resolve prison overcrowding. And that if you build prisons, you end up inevitably filling them. And you know, even as far back as 2011, the Thornton Hall Review Group kind of noted that solely building more prisons wasn't going to address the overcrowding crisis, and that we shouldn't be accepting ever spiraling numbers of people in prison as just an inevitability. I think our kind of key message, I suppose, is that we've seen some really great policy commitments around trying to promote alternatives to prison and trying to invest in measures that would kind of keep people out of prison and are actually more effective in stopping reoffending. And that's all well and good, but we probably haven't seen the investment that we need to see in those actual recommendations. And we really need to see a focused effort on that rather than trying to just build more prisons, which, you know, would also take 3 to 5 years at a minimum. So it's not going to resolve anything quickly.
So what are the alternatives for people who have committed a crime, been convicted of committing a crime? We would normally expect them to be sent to prison. Where else could they and should they go?
So the probation service plays a really big role here, and the probation service is very expert in what it does, and it provides all sorts of different kind of community alternatives. So community sanctions, what that can mean is someone having to perform community service. It can be cleanups, it can be help in schools, it can be work and training potentially. And we know from the probation service annual report that that can actually come with a great investment into the community and a greater cost saving. So it's a lot cheaper to deliver a community sanction, a community service order, than it is to imprison a person for a year or for any length of time, to be honest. And also it's more effective in actually trying to address that person's the reasons why they might have offended and maybe prevent them from doing it in the future. I mean, those are the kind of the main things, but other potential also include, you know, potential rollout of more restorative justice mechanisms that actually tries to get someone to deal with their offending and address it in that way. So it's about also being a bit creative and imaginative about the ways we can deal with people's offending.
And I think people would support that if it reflected the seriousness of the crime. But you were speaking earlier about your concern that people are in remand on prison when they're awaiting trial and they're not convicted of any offence. But from a public point of view, if they're suspected of having committed a violent offence and there's a risk that they might reoffend if they were out on bail, you can see why very many people would support them being kept on remand in prison.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we do accept that very serious crime, you know, requires a serious response. And obviously community safety has to be a key factor in all decision making that is made. However, what we don't know is if that is actually the reason why we've seen these increasing numbers on remand in particular. Is it actually because people are committing more serious offences and that the offences themselves are just a lot more all related to violence? It's not clear. We don't have data on that. And the other thing I'd say is, you know, it is about trying to put in measures that actually try to address why the person has offended and trying to stop them from reoffending while they are while they're released from prison and awaiting trial. And indeed, I can understand that point, but I think it's really important to kind of understand that it's not always quite as straightforward. Not every case is that kind of most serious
but
case.
In order to provide that community solution and to make sure that people aren't reoffending, that takes a lot of staff, it takes a lot of resources, it's going to take a huge amount of investment.
It would take investment, but I would argue, and again, that it is not as expensive as putting someone in prison and holding them there. So the average cost of prison has most recently been put at 80,000 per person per year. That is very expensive. So even with the increased investment in the staff, in the kind of training, in the things that we know could help, it would still likely be less money than it actually costs to house someone in a prison, because it is a very expensive business.
Molly, thank you very much for joining us. Molly Joyce there, Acting Executive Director of the Irish Penal Reform Trust. Thank you for speaking to us.
Thank you.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.